In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading, Luke, the 14th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use, either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. These stories are not hard to find. A close friend denies even knowing his master, who has been falsely accused and awaits execution. A friend betrays the Lord of all creation for 30 pieces of silver. A Pharisee of Pharisees murders and imprisons followers of Jesus. And the unbelieving world and the devil rejoice at their downfall. If even the salt has lost its taste, how shall it be seasoned again? On it goes to our day. A priest is convicted of abusing a young boy, and the parish has to pay hundreds and thousands of dollars in damages. The head of a major American evangelical organization steps down in disgrace after someone reveals his affair. A television preacher goes to jail for defrauding hundreds of people who gave money in support of his ministry. A pastor must leave his congregation after accusations of sexual or financial improprieties surface. And the unbelieving world and the devil rejoice at their downfall. If even the salt is made tasteless, how shall it be seasoned again? Both the earth and the manure pile are worth more than such salt. If Christians, who are the salt of the earth, have lost their ability to season the unbelieving world, who will keep it from rotting away? If Christians, who are the salt of the earth, cannot preserve the distinction between the salt and the saltless, why should we be surprised when the rest of the world looks utterly deplorable? If even the salt has become something other than salt, if it has been made tasteless by the infection of sin, hypocrisy, weakness, and failure, who can season it again? If you have been preserved from obvious public sin, give thanks to God who, in spite of your private sin, your secret sins, has kept you from openly crucifying the Lord again and holding him up to contempt. The only thing between you and the devilish deniers, the broken betrayers, the fanciful Pharisees, is the grace of God. So, before you eat and drink the holy things of God today, this is a good time, as any time is, to count the cost of following Jesus. We have already seen in the Gospel of Luke what sort of things you may expect as a Christian in this world. You go out like lambs among wolves, Jesus says, and those wolves will seek to devour you. You will face division between you and the unbelieving family members, who will be watching to see if you live like you say you do. You must not be a hypocrite who wears the masks with the surrounding culture that tempts you. Count the cost. Strive to enter the narrow door, for many will seek to enter and will not be able. Count the cost. If you seek to live the life of a Christian, will you be faithful to the end? Or will those watching you mock you and enjoy the spectacle of your downfall in flames of hypocrisy? Count the cost. Calculate what it means to be salt in a saltless world. Are you willing to give up your sins that you love so much? Are you and I willing to forsake the beloved summer at the lake, hour in the field at harvest time, travel plans, sports games, music concerts, an extra hour of sleep on your pillow, a family breakfast, to be here in church every single week. Are you willing to reject your family for the sake of the cross if it comes down to it? Are you willing to carry the sign of the crucified at the cost of the approval of those whom you live and work? Can you, with 10,000, go out against 20,000 principalities and powers that come against you in battle? If not, well, you better make peace with the world now, before you disgrace your Lord and crucify him again before the eyes of the world. All of this is what it means to be the Christian whom God made you in your baptism. There's no way around it. It is too late now to ask whether your life will bear witness to God. You have already been baptized into Christ, and you bear on your brow the seal of him who died. So the question is, what kind of witness do you bear? Do you live such good lives among the pagans that they see your good works and glorify God who is in heaven? Or have you been made tasteless by the corrosive characteristics of the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh? If even the salt is made tasteless, who will season it again? You and I are tasteless by ourselves. We love our families more than Christ. We are ashamed to bear the cross. You and I want the approval of those around us. We have already made our peace with this wicked generation. You cannot salt the world or withstand its assaults. It is too much for you. It is too much for me. The devil has been around much longer than you, and he knows all the tricks. Just when you and I think we've got our pornography addiction under control, you find an email promising perversions, both thinkable and unthinkable. At just that moment, when you and your spouse are in the midst of marital bliss, the smallest of arguments brings you to the brink of divorce. Right when your honor roll student receives her most recent straight-A report card, you find drugs in the child's backpack. And on and on and on it goes. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We've lost our taste. We are sinners in thought, in word, in deed. Who will season us again? There is only one. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God. If even the salt is made tasteless, how will it be seasoned again? In the most unusual way. Through his terms of peace, death, and resurrection. For God came down into this world for the tasteless, for those who have lost their saltiness and were of no worth either for the earth or the manure pile. Jesus came for you, as he came for me. He took our tastelessness into his own flesh. For God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Jesus went through the fire of God's judgment for you. Whips, thorns, nails, the cross, the suffering, the bleeding, even death. He has walked through that fire for you. And your sins have been purged. You are purified. You are clean. without stain, without blemish, without spot or wrinkle, for Christ has united you to Himself by burying your old sinful nature with Him in the waters of holy baptism. You have died with Christ, and you have risen to a new life in Christ. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You who were once far off have been brought near to Christ by His own blood. You and I have been purified and seasoned once again, not with perishable things such as gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus. You are the blood-bought salt of the earth. And as you yourselves know, salt is so badly needed in a decaying world. Having been baptized into Christ, you are that good salt. For Christ, the true salt of the earth, has made you that good salt. And as you go out in of these doors today into your jobs and your family, God will use you to work against the taste-destroying temptations of the world. He will use you to salt your friends and your family with the word of Christ so that He might purify them as He has purified you through His terms of peace. Those terms are free, to be sure, but they are costly. They cost Jesus everything, even His life. And they will likewise cost His followers everything. Children, brothers, sisters, friends, family. It's funny. The closer you are to Christ, the closer you are to the foot of the cross. No. It will not be easy to follow Jesus. For the way of Jesus is the way of death, a daily dying to ourselves, to our own selfish, sinful thoughts, wants, and desires. It is slow, it is painful, it is agonizing. The cross will never leave the church until death is forever done away with. But neither will the one who died on that cross. Jesus will not leave His church, His holy people, the salt of the earth. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Once you were tasteless, but now Christ has seasoned you with His own precious blood. He has marked you with the cross. He has put you in the midst of a saltless world as baptized bearers of Christ's terms of peace. They too have lost their savor. They too need a savior. Bring them with you to this house, to this church, to hear God's love for them and God's love for you in Jesus Christ. For the Savior wants also to make them into salt for a tasteless world. What shall we say then? How can the salt be seasoned again? Only by the blood of Jesus, shed on the cross, poured over you in your baptism, and given to you in His holy supper. Behold, there is redemptive power in the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, even all of your sins. In Jesus' name, amen.